European Union Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini expresses a bloc's determination to preserve the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. And now Mogherini was speaking with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference. She also called for full implementation of the agreement known as the JCPOA. That's the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Earlier, Mogherini said the nuclear accord is fundamental and crucial for Europe's security.
We believe it is fundamental and crucial for our security, and it's a fundamental pillar of the nuclear non-proliferation architecture globally. It's because of our attachment to the UN system, and the JCPOA at the end of the day is an attachment to a UN Security Council resolution that we want to implement.
German Foreign Minister has also defended the agreement. Heiko Maas warned that scrapping the JCPOA, that is, pardon, can lead to an open confrontation in the Middle East. Now, on Thursday, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence urged the United Kingdom, Germany, and France to withdraw from the accord. U.S. pulled out of the agreement last year and then reimposed sanctions on Iran. Tehran has also threatened to quit the deal if remaining signatories fail to secure its interests in the face of Washington's withdrawal. And now joining us for this discussion during this news review is Jim W. Dean, Managing Editor at Veterans Today, joining us out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Pi EM political commentator and economic researcher that is part of joining us out of Irvine, California. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you both for joining us. Now we're going to start with you, Mr. Jim W. Dean out of Grand Rapids. The White House seems to not, it's just unrelenting how far they're willing to go. Why make so many futile attempts when they know that Europeans are irate for Washington even initially pulling out of this accord?
Well, in sports we would call this kind of a Hail Mary pass. Or also the gang that can't shoot straight because they believe their own baloney. Today we watched what rolled out with the news going over how the World News reporting this, that the conference was a diplomatic version of the Saturday Night Live comedy show. You had Pence shocked everybody by trying to do a guilt trip on the EU and the JCPOA partners, that they were being disloyal to their U.S. ally by trying to interfere with the sanctions. And this is kind of a sociopathic type situation, because a person like that, he's basically, they feel no guilt whatsoever that the U.S. is the ones that broke the JCPOA deal and then created all of this problem. So for Pence to sit up there and basically try to guilt trip the Europeans and say, you know, you should withdraw from the agreement, also showed a disconnect from the reality that the person never should have been in a conference like that. And then we had Bibi, who was doing his own clown act. He started out with his little announcement that with his Arab buddies, you know, we're here to start a war with Iran, which quickly got out. They even put it out on Twitter. And it was, I think they said 5 or 6 hours before they got some real blowback from that, I think, from the White House. And they toned it down and they said, we're going to have to, like the terminology, like we're going to have to battle Iran. But even Haaretz, their own reporters, they got a hold of the tape and they found that the Hebrew word that he used was not battle, it was actually war. So Bibi went home, tried to play the big man, that he's the big international statesman, and formed this Arab coalition. And of course we know he's been working with the Iran-hater Gulf states all during the Syrian war.
And Payin, if I could swing over to you really quick, why is it, you know, so fundamental and so important for the Europeans to hold on to this agreement? And why is, you know, the White House so adamant on trying to get, you know, the Europeans to undermine their credibility by getting out of it the way they did?
Well, European Union nations seemingly differ with Washington on Iran, yet I'd be very cautious if I were in Tehran. This isn't about nuclear weapons, obviously, but about sovereign, independent, national economic imperatives versus those of an Atlanticist general empire, which will not tolerate disobedience. You'll notice how the EU is on the same page as Washington and London regarding wanting Maduro out of power in Venezuela in favor of their corporate compliant puppet. And yet we're led to believe that the US and EU genuinely differ regarding medium to long-term preferences on Iran, when both Iran and Venezuela are oil and resource-rich independent nations working with the global East and getting away from dollar hegemony. German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas, who you mentioned, overspoke a bit by admitting that, quote, and I quote him, "Our goal remains an Iran without nuclear weapons, precisely because we see clearly how Iran is destabilizing the region," end quote. That's from Maas himself. I mean, really, Europe, if that's how you truly feel, then Maas just revealed some of the transatlantic community's playing cards, as this is clearly a good cop, bad cop theatrical routine, with the EU playing good cop and the US and its tightest allies playing bad cops. Iran doesn't intend upon pursuing nuclear weapons, and Tehran's made that abundantly clear for years now, holding firmly to the JCPOA nuclear agreement. Instead, this is really about preventing Iran from pursuing an independent economic and global energy policy, just as it is against Venezuela doing the same. Sustained global non-dollar oil trading by Iran, Venezuela, Russia, China, and Turkey would torpedo the already over-indebted transatlantic banking system. Hence the ramped up belligerent talk by Washington and Israel against both Iran and Venezuela. U.S. President Pence also criticized the initiative of France, Germany, and Britain to allow European countries to continue operating in Iran despite U.S. sanctions. That's another smokescreen criticism, as the U.S., U.K., and EU want corporate, technological, and intelligence infiltration, ultimately, of Iranian banks, companies, and everything else.
And Pai and gentlemen, we have about a minute left for each of you. I want to get this question to both of you, actually. Pai, really quick, how do you interpret the events that took place in Warsaw? What was that summit really all about?
Just again, what I mentioned earlier, good cop, bad cop, basically setting up at the very least tacit warnings against Tehran and its Eastern allies that we're on the hunt and we're not going to necessarily let you get away with reversing or completely shifting the global economic order, which is really what this is about.
And if I could swing back over to you, Mr. Jim W. Dean, a lot of people think that the Warsaw Summit was a buildup to try to get a bunch of Arab states together with Tel Aviv, the regime there, to try to somehow incite war, put some kind of military thing together. Do you see it as that, you know, to that degree? Do you think the summit had that objective at hand, or do you think it was something more watered down?
I think that was the billboard that they were waving around, but politically it's a little deeper than that. The U.S. is really, and the U.S. coalition is trying to rebound from what clearly is a devastating loss in the Syrian war, and they're trying to rebound now and gain the momentum, and is really with a new boogeyman, which is really all they have is the old boogeyman, which is Iran again, and they're trying to do, they're out of ideas, so really what they're doing there is trying to crank up the old failed Arab NATO, which has never worked in the past, and it's not going to work. And they can talk about fighting for Iran all they want to, but none of those Arab countries are ever going to have a single one of their soldiers ever set foot on Iranian soil. And they can't hire enough Sudanese and mercenaries from Chad to do it. So really, I agree, a lot of it is just kabuki theater, and it's all just grand staging. But it's a very dangerous, because in a climate like this, a major false flag attack is where you throw something in like that to try to get something started that will get out of hand very quickly.
Hey, Mr. Dean, we have less than 30 seconds. I want to get this last question to you. Pai Ian mentioned the good cop, bad cop narrative. Do you feel if that's the case, or do you feel that Europeans are really sincere in trying to implement the JCPOA? That question was to you, Mr. Jim W. Dean.
I think they would really like to, because they economically they need trade with Iran. Unfortunately, they don't need Iran's oil because they've got other sources that they can get that from. But the trade with Iran, selling oil to the EU. The EU was then able to, the Iran could take that money and buy EU exports. So it's a very, very good win-win trade for both of them. And the U.S. knows that, and that's why they're desperate, because Iran having good trade with the EU is going to help it modernize and develop and become a stronger nation.
Okay, Pai, do you have any last words you want to get in? I'll give you 30 seconds if you need to.
Yeah, I think, and it's not just my thoughts, this is historically demonstrable if you look at viable, credible turn history. One collective syndicate runs the US, UK, and EU. Okay, that's why you have the same bosses for people like Macron, as well as May, as well as Trump at the end of the day. So when I say good cop, bad cop, it isn't just a guess. It's based on history of having a soft approach versus hard approach, both in a Hegelian dialectic synthesis towards the same goal, namely, quote unquote, regime change in Iran towards a compliant puppet status, the same as it is towards Venezuela right now.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us on this news review. Jim W. Dean out of Grand Rapids and Pai Yin out of Irvine. Thank you and goodbye. And viewers, thanks for joining us in this another segment of our Press TV's news review. Bye-bye for now.